Thank you to everyone who attended the 30th annual WILL Ag Outlook Conference at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Special thanks to our sponsors, New Tech Seed and Blue Reef Ag Marketing. We appreciate your support. More information available at willag.org.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of March 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather in Chicago will be here to explain what's been happening in the world growing regions from South America to North America. And then we'll discuss the cash grain situation with Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net. He is in Windsor, Illinois, and it will all happen on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. 2.5 cents lower in the corn for the day at 384.5. The May at 381.75, down 3.25. July at 383.75, 2.5 lower. In December, $3.83.75, down 1.75. March soybeans, 9.75 lower at $8.89. The May at 897, 10.25 lower. July down 10.25 at 9.05 in the beans, and November futures at 9.08.5, down 9 cents. The oil down 34 cents, bean oil that is, and the bean meal for the day, $4.80 lower. Wheat futures, soft red, July contract unchanged, 5.19.5 on the day. Hard red July at 4.53.5, down 6.5 cents. Live cattle futures in the April, $2.62.5 lower at $108.65. Feeders down $1.22.5 at $133.62.5, and lean hogs $65.37.5, $1.07.5 higher. Crude oil for the afternoon in the April down 96 cents a barrel at $45.82. Ethanol futures 2.7 cents lower, $1.25.7 a cent per gallon. Heating oil or diesel fuel down about 4.5 cents at $1.48.7, and gasoline off 3.7 cents at $1.51.8 a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 844 points at this hour. The U.S. dollar off 0.517, and the gold futures up around $30 at $1,670.60. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. He has made his way back to that great state from our All Day Ag Outlook. Thanks for being there Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana.
It was real fun visiting with a lot of people I haven't seen for a couple years, because last year I did miss it. So there was a lot of people I hadn't seen for a couple years, and I really enjoyed it, Todd. Really enjoyed coming back to Illinois.
It was a good day. So on that day, you told producers that on old crop corn, by the end of this month, they probably ought to have most or all of it moved. Still stand by that?
At least have some downside price protection, and or if you do move the cash, if it's on a basis contract. I just hate basis contracts. I've hated basis contracts ever since they started using them back in the early 80s, because I remember many farmers using basis contracts on the way down from the 1983 market when we had the pick program and the drought on top of it. And they rode those basis contracts for 2 years all the way down into 1985, 86 lows. And, you know, they just kept buying carry. And they ended up being a dollar or something underneath the futures market. And so basis contracts are a good tool, but they're also a contract that you need to have some price parameters set out in front of you, and you need some kind of activation plan, because it's more of a short-term tool than a long-term tool, especially if you're in a carrying charge type market. So that's kind of what I was getting at. If some of my cyclical work, now today's a down day, but we had several days kind of up to the upside here. So it is time to kind of have a setback and a period of consolidation. And of course, what's going on in the Dow, that's kind of what we're doing in the Dow, is we're consolidating within 1,000-point range or 1,500-point range. I didn't really look at it for sure, but that's what we're doing. We're up you know, 900 one day, down 1,000, back up 1,200, then down 900. So we're kind of trying to spin around and find a point of price discovery in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Now that spills on over into commodities because people are worrying that this coronavirus is slowing the economy. We have seen a couple negative economic indicators, but nothing that can't be overcome. That kind of spills over into the grain complex and what that may or may not do to export demand as well as domestic demand. My cyclical work implies that the best pricing opportunities for corn and soybeans are more likely to be in the second half of the calendar year, more so than the first half of the calendar year. So I think between now and into planting or first part of June or so, the market is going to struggle. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go down. It may continue to kind of track into a sideways state pattern. But I think there's still another round of weakness coming that could come in that April timeframe. And kind of once we get past that April timeframe, then I would expect to see the seasonalities of a strengthening market as we go on into June and July and maybe even August kind of take hold. We'll have to see how this demand situation plays out. But I think trying to get a weather market going after last year's experience, I think most people will laugh at you if we would try to, you know, talk up a late planting. I think a late planting ain't going to get much traction. Now, it may. I don't know for sure. Every year's different, and the market psychology is different all the time. But late planting is not going to excite anybody, I think, after last year. But there could be something else come along that could stir up a good short covering rally. But my short-term work says that in the near term here, that we could maybe have a rally toward the end of March, maybe going into the stocks report, planning intentions report. I don't necessarily expect to see anything bullish in those reports. Actually, I would probably be inclined to say that the probably will be negative or will have a negative reaction because they'll show increased acres from last year. And every time you show something increasing, it's going to have a negative impact on it. And any kind of supply demand tables won't be released until April. And I think Lance said at the meeting there and at the beef house that don't expect to see any big shockers in supply because that's pretty well set in place there. They are going to do some resurveying in the areas that harvest was not complete. But he kind of told us that don't expect to see any big changes, at least on the March report. So a lack of changes would be viewed as, I think, generally negative. So what my thinking was, if we could catch a good rally here during the month of March, but we got to get the stock market settled down and get this stock market on a recovery basis, that it would be a pricing opportunity to maybe unload some of these basis contracts, unload some of this corn that you're worried about on quality-wise, whatnot. And then maybe you could, replace it with a call option or something like that, but maintain some kind of price ownership to kind of have in place for the last half of the calendar year. If you do have good quality corn, then maybe use a strategy of purchasing puts or having some kind of downside price protection on it as we go through the spring. And then once you get the crop planted, if we do begin to stabilize after a decline into the April timeframe, then you might want to take that downside price protection off and then see if the seasonalities would kind of catch, as we get into May and June and July.
So you're earlier rather than later to go ahead and try to get some things at least protected, priced in some way, and with more than just crop insurance.
Yes, you know, but, you know, new crops kind of difficult. It's kind of hard to protect, you know, or buy puts on crop, on new crop if the price is below the crop insurance price. But you still have, you don't have 100% of your crop protected. So you might want to take a look at considering protecting the part that's maybe not protected. But, you know, seasonality, we should still show, you know, this market percentage-wise or statistically should have some kind of seasonal advance as we go into the growing season. The question is, you know, how much of a seasonal advance it's going to be and whether or not it's going to be strong enough to get everybody excited about doing some price protection. And that's going to be the hard thing. The odds favor some form of seasonal price protection. But right now, the market is all focused on this coronavirus. It just doesn't know the extent of how serious it is, how widespread it's going to be. And that's just going to take a little time. We're not going to know that in a couple of days. Hopefully 2 weeks from now, things will have settled down and stabilized some in the stock market. And we'll begin to find out that, you know, it's not as bad as what the initial reaction has been. But the market just hates uncertainty. And that's where we're at right now, is completely uncertain on the severity of it. And how widespread it's going to be in the United States, and time is going to be the only thing that's going to tell us on that. The thing that we have to kind of be wishful for over on the commodity complex, as well as in the stock index, if you're a holder of stocks, is that the market will begin to settle down, stabilize. And that would be a sign that then the country is getting more comfortable with it as a virus that's controllable, manageable, and it's not going to kill us all. But right now, everybody, I mean, it's amazing. I'm in Houston and I stopped by to see my granddaughter, and my daughter said that, her husband went to Costco and all the, you know, hand sanitizers and hand wipes and all that are all sold out. So everybody's buying these hand sanitizers and disinfected wipes like Grant took Richmond. Yep. I guess the guy should have had a few semis full of that stuff.
Indeed. Hey, we'll talk with you again in about 40 minutes or so for Commodity Week today.
Very well. Talk to you later.
Uh-huh. That is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. On this Thursday, Mike Tenura is here to take a look at the weather forecast. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us today. Let's start in the south. Argentina, I think, has been a bit dry maybe for 2 or 3 weeks. Corn crop there still has maybe, I want to say, 45 days till it gets finished. Can you give me an update on what conditions are like?
Well, they saw a lot of rain in Argentina until February 17th and 18th. That was the last day we saw a big event, and since then it's been completely dry. We can see that it's going to stay dry through Monday or Tuesday, and then we'll start to see rain chances pick back up. But by the time we get into next week, it will have been 3 weeks with little to no rainfall in the key corn and soybean areas. So that in itself is a little bit concerning because, as you noted, we're still in a sensitive period of development for these crops. The only thing we need to keep in mind is that it was pretty cool over most of this period. Only in the last 3 to 4 days has heat returned, but it's also important to keep in mind that heat is going to be a formidable force over the next week until we get beyond all these storms that are coming up. So pretty much is going to keep on drying and is going to stay pretty hot for about another week. And then we start to get into some of those better rain chances. And we think that by the time we get into the middle of the month, the dryness story will not be much of a story at all, because we are looking for 1 to 2 inches over the next 2 weeks, with most of that, again, starting on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then really later on next week and next weekend.
The Safrinha corn crop, or second crop corn in Brazil, along with the soybean harvest, have been moving along at a pretty good clip, though I think both are lagging in total, meaning they're moving, but both are behind at this time, and they depend a lot on the monsoonal rains, especially for the second crop or Safrinha corn. Are conditions good, dry, great there? What do you see?
Well, at the moment, it looks like things are okay, but we do need to keep a couple of things in mind. Number one is that the southern half of that corn crop that you're talking about does not experience a distinct dry season or rainy season. It pretty much should be raining all year long, very similar to what we would see in the United States Delta around Arkansas, Tennessee, that region. Pretty much is going to rain at different times of the year, no matter what. It hasn't rained a whole lot there over the last week, as the same weather pattern that's affecting Argentina is now creeping into southern Brazil. And if we look at southern Brazil's forecast over the next couple of weeks, it does look a little bit ominous. We can see that areas of high pressure this week and next week are going to limit rainfall. This region should receive 3 inches of rain over the next 2 weeks in a normal situation. But we're looking for much, much less than that. And with all of the rain chances basically not even showing up until we get about 10 to 11, maybe even 12 or 13 days from now. Even at that point in time, we can see that areas of high pressure are going to linger a little bit. So there is some risk to that corn crop in the southern growing area. But this is just due to an unusual weather pattern. It's not so much due to a failure of the monsoon. The monsoon story is a little bit more prominent to the north. That's where the northern half of corn is grown, and they do have a distinct wet season and a distinct dry season. The risk to that crop is always that if the dry season were to start a few weeks earlier than normal, then that would basically cut off the rains right before corn needs it. Well, that's still a few weeks out before we need to worry too much about it, because it does rain pretty regularly through about the first week of April, and then after that, all bets are off, because by the time we get into June, it doesn't rain for 3 consecutive months. So it's that transition period from early April through early June that makes a big difference. Now, it is a little dry up there at the moment because we're not really seeing too much rainfall from that exact same weather pattern that we've been talking about. But we do see that there will be some rain in those northern corn areas next week. But will it be enough to keep things moving along at a nice pace? That's a difficult question to answer. And again, the real concern would be what happens in April, but April's still a little too far away to be overly concerned about it.
Here in the United States, even here in my part of the world, by the time we get to next week, if the weather forecast holds, farmers will be thinking about scratching the earth just a little bit. The only thing that might deter that, I suppose, would be cold weather, and more likely rainfall. Is there anything in the offing?
Well, there's a lot of rain in the forecast, unfortunately. I know a lot of producers are real concerned about that this year because of what we went through last year. And also keep in mind that the last 5 years across the U.S. Corn Belt, which is the 7-state region that surrounds Illinois, it was the wettest 5-year period going back over 120 years. So we've been in an unusually wet period. Basically, it hasn't broken yet. We can see that we're going to see some rain coming through the Corn Belt on Monday. And then beyond that is where things get a little more interesting, because we do have several more systems that are going to move through. And those systems that start up later next week and then into the middle of the month have a lot more of the appearance of what you would expect in the springtime, and really in the mid-spring. We're still only in the beginning of spring. And that's because tropical air will start to flow northward, and we can see that that's going to interact with the jet stream, and that's a pretty classic formula for significant rain events. So we think that it's going to turn a lot wetter in the Corn Belt and the Delta. And we're already alerting our customers that they need to start thinking a little bit about what that means for soybean planting, because it's probably going to be challenging to get an early start to that in these southern areas toward the end of the month. Something to think about. Also, wheat producers in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and points onto the south along the Mississippi River, they're going to stay pretty wet as we move forward. That's another thing we need to think about. So it is going to stay wet, it looks like, through the middle of the month. And beyond that, it's hard to say, but based on everything that's been happening for the better part of many years, it's just hard to start forecasting anything but rainy weather.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds great, Tom. We'll chat then.
That's Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Matt Bennett is here now. He is with agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being at the Beef House. Have you been traveling since Tuesday?
Yeah, you know, I ran over to north of the Quad Cities yesterday and spoke to a group of producers there. Been out a little bit, nothing extravagant, but still haven't been able to be home. Now, today I was actually in the office all day, which was kind of a nice change.
I bet. So have you seen the producers' attitude change over the last 3 months very much?
Well, interestingly, you know, last week at Commodity Classic, of course, there was a lot of concern, you know, whether you're talking about your ag commodities or whether you're talking about the Dow, you know, there was a lot of reason for concern. But then this week, you know, you come in here with a couple of up days and everyone feels a little bit better about what's going on. Now, obviously, today was not one of those days, but the first 3 days of this week just gives you a little bit of optimism, makes you feel a little bit better about the state of affairs.
And that probably part and parcel of rolling out of the end of February and into March. So you've got a couple of different things taken care of. All the basis contracts got rolled, moved, one of the two, and you now have crop insurance setting done, too. So the market's open and looking forward, I guess.
Yeah, you know, a lot of folks had to figure out what they were going to do, of course, with their basis contracts as well. And so there's a lot that's happened here recently. You know, $3.89 for a spring price, certainly no home run. You know, looking at the low 380s for December corn to mid 380s, you know, certainly, in my opinion, isn't buying any acres, but November bean prices, you know, struggling to get too far above $9, haven't bought any acres either. So really kind of spring weather is going to have a lot to do with what acreage looks like. But as we enter into March here, there's a lot of question marks yet.
By the time we got to the end of the day Tuesday, and I know you didn't hear this, the common theme was old crop corn, try as best you can to get it marketed before we get to the acreage figures. What do you think?
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. The corn that's in the bin at home, again, if it's in really good condition and it went in good condition where I'm not about it, person being a little more hesitant. But I know there's not going to be a lot of those bushels there now. If I had 100,000 bushels like that, I wouldn't keep the whole 100,000 bushels either. I want to spread my risk out a little bit, but I think having some gambling bushels at home in the bin is probably going to end up paying dividends for a producer, because I think especially with a late spring, you could end up seeing a real push for good quality corn later in the summer.
Hey, thanks so much and safe travels.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That's Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, most of it in its entirety. You can also find it as a podcast, the Opening Market Report and the Closing Market Report Commodity Week, in your favorite podcast applications, including the Google Play Store on the Apple Podcast, along with Stitcher, SoundCloud, and even NPR One and Spotify. Check us out anytime you'd like in any of those podcast applications, or just play us right out of the website at willag.org. Again, that's willag.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.